So we're going to be heading over in our conversation to other impacts of coronavirus. And one of those, of course, is given the fact that we are working from home, the legitimacy of our signatures when we send out our documents. We're increasingly using digital signatures, and we must know exactly whether or not they're still legally binding. On the one hand, the trend for many years was that you had digital imaging of your signature, or at least like an image that could be quote unquote pasted onto a document. Increasingly, it doesn't even bear the likeness to your writing when you use these signature apps. Mason Maheri is the Chief Solutions Director at Law Trust and joins me next to unpack exactly what this all means.
Breakfast with Refilwe Moloto on Cape Talk.
We do love technology. We just want to make sure that it does not harm as much as it helps. Mason, welcome to Breakfast with Refilwe.
Good morning, and it's unprecedented times in business. You opened the story very well by saying the idea of pasting a signature has not been a good one for many years, but even more so under this time of remote work where business has been disrupted and criminals are actually preying on the chaos.
Quite right. The point around criminals being trained on the chaos is very important insofar as, they tend to sort of be three steps ahead of the potential regulation. And as a result, some companies just refuse to accept digital signatures, but we're now kind of forced in many respects, to potentially use these. Can you first of all, help us understand what is it that constitutes a digital signature? Does it have to be the image of what I have written? Or can it be these, what I'm seeing more in apps like Sign Now, where it's just in whatever font that app chooses to use in cursive, and it just says Refilwe Moloto, for example?
So I think there's an easy self-test to do to understand the topic. If you go and you Google Donald Trump's signature, you'll immediately be inundated with a whole lot of images of Donald Trump's signature. So that actually proves the point that it is impossible to take an image of a signature and paste it into a document and believe that that will be legitimate. Otherwise, anybody can sign anything as Donald Trump. Similarly, somebody can take your picture and paste it in a document you didn't intend.
Yes.
So the essence of a good digital signature is really three things. One is it has to involve an authentication. So there has to be some sort of entering a password, a one-time password as well, some sort of biometric, something to tie you to that action. The second thing is you need to seal the evidence. If you sign something and somebody can easily alter the document that you've signed, then it hasn't actually helped at all, because then your signature is against the wrong thing. And the third thing is you need an impartial timestamp as well, because in business transactions, when something's going wrong, the first thing you have to do is you've got to look at the time. And if everybody was setting the time on their own phone or their own computer, it can't actually mean much. So really, those are the three basics. So we pull together a good digital signature that we cover all those things by using security technology behind the scenes. Very simple process, but backed by security technology.
Brilliant. So an impartial timestamp, in other words, a global clock that I suppose is in your security system. Is that what you mean? That is set.
It's a little bit further than that. In order to have a trustworthy time that you can rely on worldwide, it's not just the clock. It's also the entity that's giving you the time. So organization like Law Trust, for example, provides publicly certified time. That means we get audited on the clocks, the atomic clocks that we run in our data center. So that they're accurate, and we are encrypting a time into your document, basically, that nobody can tamper with.
It's
that tamper-proofness, or in blockchain, they've got nice words like immutability. But it's the immutability of the time that is so important in a digital signature transaction.
And the sealed evidence, I mean, historically for me, that would usually have been a PDF, but people are able to edit these days.
That's right. It's if you're a developer-capable criminal, a development-capable criminal, it is quite easy to edit anything. So how the digital signature technology solves that, again, invisible to you but behind the scenes, is that it basically takes a digital fingerprint of the document that you are signing, and it encrypts that into the document itself. So anybody opening that can actually take their own digital fingerprints, or their free Adobe Reader would do that, and it'll compare the digital fingerprints and say, this is authentic. And that speaks to one of the biggest problems that we have in the virtual world, is telling which communication and which website is authentic.
Mason,
and this clearly solves that problem.
Yes. I'm excited about these products that are available. How pricey are these? And how broadly available are they to South African companies?
So South Africa, and I often get asked, you know, where do we stand in the quality of our IT services and in the legislation around this? And in this area and in many areas, we're actually quite up there in the world. We got our ECT Act, Electronic Communications Act, in Electronic Communications and Transactions Act in 2002. So that already allowed for electronic signatures. But in 2012, it was stepped up a notch by introducing regulations for advanced electronic signatures as well. So legally, we're very well prepared for this. Companies have been exploring digitalization and using various sorts of digital signatures probably for the last 10 years already. So the business models around this have evolved to become more a pay-as-you-go type model for smaller entities where they can only pay for what they consume. And in the larger entities, obviously, you do enterprise pricing based on volumes. But it is far cheaper than using paper and adding all the paper mistakes like data capture. And it's far cheaper than not doing business at all.
Or risking being compromised by criminals. Thank you so much for that, Mason Maharik, Chief Solutions Director at Law Trust. Very interesting stuff. And I'm sure I would have loved to talk to you about our biometrics that you mentioned earlier. But maybe one day we'll move there instead of signatures.